This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, knows what makes a city solo friendly. If you want some inspiration for your solo adventure and want some suggestions of some cities to contemplate, listen on. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Astrid has 20 cities that she considers solo friendly for your consideration. This episode of Solo Travel Talk is a little bit of a listicle, but still informative. Be sure to stay tuned to the end when Astrid discusses a couple of major cities that folks might assume are solo friendly that don't quite get Astrid's recommendation and why. We start with some solo friendly United States cities. Here's Astrid.
So I'm going to share with our listeners just my quick list of a couple of the U.S. cities that I think are great solo-friendly travel destinations, and then just a real short list of non-U.S. solo-friendly cities. The first one is New Orleans. Now, I'm from Louisiana. New Orleans, to us, is just the most fabulous city, definitely in the United States. Now, of course, we bow to New York City as it being probably the best city in the world. I mean, you know, it's not my favorite. Paris is my favorite, but New York is so fabulous, and I think everybody is still trying to catch up with all the fabulous things in New York. But New Orleans is so wonderful for the solo traveler. It has everything there. You can do so many different kinds of things. The food, like I said, is beyond belief fantastic. The shopping is wonderful. This is still a place that Amazon really has not completely changed the shopping dynamic. There's so many individual boutiques and even local designers, etc. All types of things. I mean, there's one girl that was a divorcee, had several children, and she really didn't know how she was going to provide for her children. New Orleans is a place where private schools are prevalent. It's very expensive. Well, she started clothing and accessory and kind of everything chain called Flirty Girl. And Flirty Girl, man, she's got it going on. And there's so many different kinds of boutiques, like Mignon Faget. Oh, my God. She is a jewelry designer. She's now in her mid-80s. She's been designing beautiful collections for, I think, the last 50 years. They are coveted by people who were born and raised in New Orleans, and also for people who travel to New Orleans and are introduced to Mignon Faget and her jewelry line. It's fabulous. So that's just a little bit about the shopping, because you have like Magazine Street. You've got a fabulous designer discount mall right there downtown on the river. Then you've got the French Quarter. It's just limitless, you know. So you could really have a great time. So New Orleans, in terms of shopping, is great. Then walking, the French Quarter, walking the Warehouse District, riding the streetcar, you know, into the Garden District, taking the steamboat down the Mississippi River for a jazz cruise. There's so many fun things that you can do. And just getting lost in the gorgeous architecture of New Orleans. I mean, since Katrina, New Orleans has just come back with a roar. I think it's more beautiful than it's ever been in my entire life. So anybody comes to New Orleans will fall in love with architecture, because it sets the tone and the feeling for this very classy but warm a southern place that there's no place like it in on earth. So that's my number one solo friendly destination. And I must tell you, on my website, Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, which the URL is just astridtravel.com, I have a blogger that does nothing but blog on New Orleans topics. Like her blog post today was on the top solo-friendly hotels in New Orleans. Read it. It's great. It will tell you exactly what your options are that we feel are solo friendly for hotels in New Orleans. So New Orleans is number one. The next city that I think is great for solo travelers in the United States is Santa Fe. Santa Fe gives you such a wonderful feel and introduction to the Southwest. First of all, it has so much sunshine, 325 days usually of sunshine. So you don't have to worry about bad weather. Now, it can get very hot, and it is dry, but it is sunny. And I think that, the next thing that basically it has to offer that's so wonderful is the art scene. And I think that art scene somewhat developed because it's so much sunshine there all the time, and the light is good, and the ruggedness of the scenery and everything. There's something in that that's very fiery, and probably it's drawn a lot of creative talent to that area. But wonderful art scene, gobs of galleries and exhibitions and all kinds of creative things in the visual arts, jewelry making, etc. That really you can, if this is what you like, you can thoroughly enjoy there. Plus, it's so walkable. You know, you just really got that main kind of old downtown. Likewise, it's very bikeable. Then, if you want to, if it's not too hot, there's hiking in the mountains. And then if it's a little bit colder, you can go skiing. So you've got kind of adventure things available. You've got arts-oriented available. Oh, and I forgot to mention the opera. They have a fantastic opera. And if you can catch some of the seasonal events, I mean, the opera, the quality of the opera scene there is bar none good. So I love Santa Fe. I think it's a very different destination that I think it's hard for anybody not to have a good time there. Okay, next is another charming, beautiful southern city of Charleston. Now, Charleston, much like New Orleans, or basically like New Orleans, southern hospitality, very friendly. But it's different. Charleston has more of an English kind of flavor to it. And New Orleans is very French and very Spanish, with some Italian and German floating in there. And, of course, the African-American element to the culture. Charleston is different. Charleston, you're moving more really East Coast feel, whatever, but still Southern. Architecture is beautiful. In fact, Travel and Leisure a couple of years ago voted Charleston as the world's best city to travel to. So that tells you what a fabulous place Charleston is in terms of a travel destination. And for solo travelers, I mean, talk about walkable. It's walkable, bikeable. They have pedicabs all over, a trolley, buses, carriages. I mean, you won't have to worry about getting from point A to point B if you don't want to walk, because there's all kinds of options, and they're all good. Also, most anybody who knows anything about Charleston knows that the historic downtown is fabulous. Great restaurants. I went on a food tour. And it was one of the best food tours I've ever been to. I mean, I can't even go into all the different stops on the food tour right now because that will lengthen this podcast another 15, 20 minutes. But the food scene in Charleston is great. Low country cuisine is really what they're noted for. And it's very interesting and it's delicious. As well as, like New Orleans, boutiques galore. Especially antique shops, antique jewelry, antique furniture. Oh, the people in Charleston, in that area of the country, they really, I mean, they value their great-grandmother's brooch or her diamond ring or whatever. So if you like beautiful antiques, Charleston is a place to go. I know they have classes. In fact, I almost went to an antique show and kind of adult 3-day antique course. It would give you the knowledge on really how to assess great antiques, how to buy them, where to buy them from, et cetera. I never did it, but I almost did. Charleston is the place to do it. As well as, I want to mention a couple of things. It has two plantations, one the Boone Hall Plantation and Gardens, and another one is the Magnolia Plantation and Gardens, of which I went to that one. It's fabulous. I stayed there more than half a day because the gardens and the paths, and Southern gardens, especially the deeper you go, are just, they're so beautiful. You have to be enveloped in those, you know, the lakes and the swamps and the trees and the flowers and everything. It's just, that subtropical feel to it is very soothing and very, it's beautiful to be in that environment. So if you go to Charleston and you have enough time, take one of those day tours because it's worth it. It'll give you a better idea of really what the South was like when, you know, the planters went out to their plantations during the growing season, and then when they came into the city like Charleston or New Orleans for the holiday season and what they call the social season, which usually started around Thanksgiving and went into the first day of Lent or Ash Wednesday. So do that. But Charleston, I love Charleston. I could go back to Charleston every couple of years because it's just one of those places that you can't help but be in a good spot. Because I really can't fault anything about Charleston. It's just so pleasant. Maybe it has a few too many tourists, so you need to be careful during what season you go to. But love Charleston. Asheville. Now, that's the next destination. Lots of people don't think about Asheville. But Asheville is a cool, cool American city. There are so many retired professionals in their 60s and 70s who've, you know, really been successful or worked in corporate America that have relocated to Asheville because it is so cool there. I mean, they have a fabulous culinary scene, craft beers. I mean, they have festivals all the time, lots of focus on the arts. I mean, I think there's something like 40 galleries that, you know, have constant showings and exhibitions. Plus, you know, it's in the foothills, really, of the Blue Ridge Mountains. So you have this wonderful kind of cool, clean air. And you just kind of feel upbeat and healthy by the air in this area of the United States. And here again, the people are friendly and it's open culture. So you can go there and just, you know, get into it, strike up a conversation, have a beer. You know, it's just one of those places. Plus, if you know, they've got the fabulous Biltmore Estate, which really is fabulous. It was built by one of the Vanderbilts, and it is gorgeous to go and visit. There are also some inns in a little larger hotel, not really a super hotel, on the grounds. They have things like wine tastings there now. I think there's a vineyard, but it's beautiful, especially during any of the holiday seasons. Oh, my word. They just really do a wonderful job with decorating it, as well as different types of performances, et cetera, that are located on the estate. So that makes it a kind of a destination in itself, but very good. Then, you know, because it's on the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, you've got hiking, you've got biking, you've got kayaking. So if you want some adventure or if you want some exercise or whatever, it's wonderful. Like I met a couple of couples. We were on a Nile cruise down, Egyptian cruise down the Nile, and these three couples were from Asheville. Well, I'm still friends on Facebook with them, one specifically. And, you know, we are always commenting back and forth. But I love those people. They just, and they're always saying, Astrid, you need to come see us in Nashville. Come see us in Nashville. Nashville. I keep saying Asheville. So I haven't made it there in the last couple of years, but I do plan to go back. But I know, and I highly recommend Asheville. If you want that kind of, you know, modern, cool, that's not like super sophisticated, but then it is sophisticated in its own high-minded way. Asheville is the place. Then, over on the West Coast, one of my favorites that I think is very solo-friendly is Santa Barbara. That beautiful California sunshine. I mean, the weather is just intoxicating to begin with. Fabulous in terms of walkability. You've got the historic center of Santa Barbara, the old mission, and it's got great shopping, wonderful restaurants. Then you've got a new area called the Funk Zone, which there are galleries and super nightlife. They've got also, you know, places where you can have wine tastings. Then, you know, with Santa Barbara, not only is it just a fun place to be because it just still has its charm of the old Spanish mission feel of the way California kind of started. It's at the foothills of the Enos Mountains. Yeah. So you got the opportunity for hiking and different types of mountain-oriented kind of activities. Then also, if you like wine, there are some wine-tasting towns very close, Los Olivos and Solvang, right there. You can go and have, you know, a nice afternoon tasting wine. So it's a very nice upscale, not too big place in California that gives you a feel of the way California, or the best, I'd say, of California. If you don't want Hollywood or, you know, San Francisco tech cool. So, and I'll just close with saying, you know, Oprah built her huge mansion there. So if she likes it, you know it's wonderful. So Santa Barbara is definitely one of the places in the United States that I think is wonderful, solo friendly, highly recommended. The next one on the West Coast is Portland. Now, Portland is what I call the land of the free thinkers. I mean, they are like the hippies that are young, old. They still are hippies, but they are free thinkers, and it's an interesting place because, you know, people aren't confined to thinking within the box. So I find places like that very stimulating, you know, because it makes me think outside of the box, to tell you the truth. But it's a well-planned city. It's got a lot of great transportation opportunities like light rail, streetcar. It's definitely walkable and bikeable. You've got a couple of really cool neighborhoods, the Pearl District, Hawthorne, Belmont. The art scene is thriving. Fabulous Portland Art Museum. They have these Japanese gardens that are just fantastic. Now, you wouldn't think in Portland, Oregon, where all these, you know, very different people, that they would have a zen or a beautiful, magnificent Japanese gardens, but it's there. As well as the craft beer scene. Now, this is probably in the United States one of the best areas for craft beers. There's over, like, I think 80 different craft beer breweries. That's huge, because Portland is not that big. But, I mean, it's like everybody is trying to create something that's better than the next guy. So if you like craft beers, oh, my gosh, Portland is definitely a destination. Then the last one, I already kind of mentioned it, is New York City. And I have to say, there's nothing like the Big Apple. I mean, it's huge, but it's very walkable. The subway is so well planned out. Cabs everywhere if you need a cab. And so there's no problem with logistics. There's no problem getting to New York City. It's a melting pot of all cultures, really. You know, and if it exists, you can find it or experience it in New York City. New York City is a microcosm, really, of the world's cultures. It's so amazing to me that huge city can really be so thriving with all those cultures. That makes you think we could all get along and we can make it work if we want to, because it works in New York City. And here you go. I mean, here I go. The museums are some of the top in the world. The shopping is definitely, it doesn't get any better than New York City. The food, that goes without saying. Theater, galleries. I mean, New York City, you have everything from the best all the way down to the least expensive. So fabulous. Then you've got all these neighborhoods. It's not like just a big blob. It's got all these different areas that have their own flavor to them. You know, the financial district where the Twin Towers were and all the devastation that happened after 9/11. They have done so much fabulous new building and development. It has spurred Lower Manhattan and the financial district to be so cutting edge, cool, and sophisticated. In fact, there's a lot of people moving out of posh, the Upper East Side, to this new area because they want a more modern kind of lifestyle. And it's here, but it's still New York City. Of course, posh Upper East Side. I always like to go and, you know, either have a drink in the Bellamon's Bar or go to the Cafe Carlyle for a dinner show and entertainment. I just love the Carlyle Hotel. I mean, I know it's a bygone era. It's still very popular with a lot of people, but I particularly like it because it was just the heyday of Jacqueline Kennedy and that era of the United States, and that's kind of my era. So, and it still has its class and its regalness. So that's a wonderful neighborhood. And then you've got Greenwich Village, you have the Meatpacking District, you've got, well, Central Park, both on the upper and east and west side, Times Square, around the theater district, Broadway, Little Italy, Chinatown. I mean, New York City is so wonderful. I could go there 5 times a year and never be bored with New York City. So that's the last one on my solo friendly list for the United States. I have a couple of more, but these are the ones that I think give you kind of a cross-section to let you pick and choose what type of culture or, you know, what you really are interested in experiencing. Then the non-U.S. cities very quickly. Number one, the biggies, Paris, London, Rome, Amsterdam. They're all great for solo travelers. Now, you know, you have to do a lot more planning so you don't get so you don't blow a lot of money, and you know how to get from point A to point B, etc. But they're great. They have so much there, similar to New York City, but different than New York City. Then you've got your what I call your number two cities or your tertiary kind of cities like Barcelona, Lisbon, Athens. You know, they're not as big as Paris, London, Rome, but they're very good. They're not quite as expensive, to tell you the truth. Then going down Marrakesh, Hanoi, Singapore, those are some very different cities, all great for the solo traveler. Then Mexico, a place where a lot of people go, oh, Astrid, you went to Mexico? Mexico, I thought it was very dangerous, especially for women, blah, blah, blah. Mexico City and San Miguel de Allende, loved it, both of them. You know, San Miguel specifically is very solo-friendly. Mexico City is a little bit more difficult because It has a horrible traffic problem. Now, you can walk a lot in Mexico City and get from point A to point B. So that's not too bad. But you will find yourself needing to take a cab or have a driver take you here or there. And when you get in a car there, you're going to hit the traffic. The traffic in Mexico City is unbelievable. Sometimes it will take you an hour to go like five blocks. It's amazing. It's terrible. It's unbelievably bad. So, but I still liked it so lot, and I've been there a couple of times, and I think it's fabulous. In fact, Mexico City, I think, is the city with the second most museums in the whole world, which was astounding to me when I read that statistic, but it's true. And then the last one is a place I just recently visited for the first time, Cartagena, Colombia. I mean, I fell in love with Cartagena, Colombia for many reasons. I've done a podcast on this, so I'm not going to go into all the reasons. If you're interested in going to Cartagena or learning anything about it, listen to the podcast, and I give you all the travel tips, the top things to do, etc.
So, Astrid, I do want to ask you one quick question about, since you gave us such a great list of solo travel friendly sites, and I know you're positive, but I want to know, just off the top of your head, are there maybe some cities that people assume are going to be solo friendly but really aren't, or you wouldn't recommend?
Well, it depends on the experience of the solo traveler. Because I'll cite Berlin, Germany is one. Berlin is a very interesting big city with a history that is really a place where it makes you think, you feel a lot, and it's woven in what you do there, what you can experience. It has a great arts and entertainment scene. It's a thinking city. It still has the remnants of the East and the West and the Wall, etc. But it's got so much multiculturalism now. And there's so many, it's like it has so many different types of people that Berlin is changing and changing probably as I speak. So if you're not an experienced solo traveler, you might not enjoy Berlin as much as if you would go to, say, Madrid or Barcelona or Lyon, France. You know, those places have multiculturalism and some immigration issues, but it doesn't have the tension of a lot of the past and what's going on now. But Berlin is a fabulous city to visit. But I think for certain solo travelers who haven't had a lot of experience with solo travel, it might be more less solo friendly than some other large city destinations.
I think you're right. People probably would presume Berlin would be easy, but maybe it sounds like you were saying, maybe for the more advanced solo traveler.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kind of like Istanbul, too. Istanbul is like that, too. Now, it doesn't have the multicultural in the immigration, but it's a very large city, and it has the Bosphorus going through it. And there's the Asian side and the European side. You need to spend minimum of a week there. I spent 10 days and I really didn't feel like I had all the time that I needed to really explore the different areas, because there's a lot to see in Istanbul. But it is a very exotic place, so you have to feel comfortable as a solo traveler to go exploring in these different areas. So I think that you need more experience to go to a place too, like Istanbul and Berlin, but for different reasons.
So there you are, solo friendly cities just waiting for you. Are you ready to head out? Need to pack your bags? Well, Astrid has just the exact thing for you. She has an amazing packing list that is going to cover everything that you need to know to pack your bags efficiently, not forget anything, and really just sort of take the stress out of packing. That packing list is available on her website, astridtravel.com. Right there on the homepage, there's a place you can put in your email and download the packing list right away. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. We love people who rate and review, subscribe to the show. We love our subscribers just because it allows you to get the show seamlessly, but then also it pushes out the show to potential solo travelers. We want to spread the Solo Travel Talk word. Astrid has nearly 40 years of solo travel experience. We want to share that. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'd love to hear about what you think about Astrid's 20 cities. Thank you so much for listening to Solo Travel Talk, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.